from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Alrighty, well, AMA, you ask, we answer. I'll ask the first question of the day. Who's coming up on the show later today? Well, how about Ross Tucker at 7:40? How about Mike Quick at 9:10? How about a lot of football coverage all through the season? So make sure you listen every day if you can. To the because we, you know, we also got Jason Kelce.
How about also your chance to win Eagle or to hear a name to win Eagles tickets on Friday, courtesy of NovaCare. Let's not forget that too.
That's right, because we're giving away tickets on Friday for the game on Monday. But you got to listen at 8 o'clock in order to know the name. It's sort of like a clue. We're playing the game Clue here on WIP. So listen at 8 o'clock Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in the lead up to an Eagles game. Tickets given away courtesy of NovaCare. All right, AMA, John, as we do every Wednesday at this time.
Ask Me Anything, brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
So I kind of liked asking the questions there, but I guess we did. I did agree to do this segment. What do people want to know today?
You did agree.
And
now you actually answer the question.
Maybe I should not have agreed to it.
Well, you did spend the first like year of it just being like, I don't feel like answering.
I did. I was.
You never used to answer them?
Nah, yeah, like the first year of this segment.
I don't need this nonsense.
But I don't think he realized that he was doing such a poor job of not answering anything. Like, it really did sort of slip his notice that he did.
No,
he did not fulfill his end of the bargain.
No.
It was ask me anything, and he was not answering.
Yeah, I would answer. I just want to address the nature of the question.
All right, let's get to Dominic. Dominic on Facebook. And Joe, this one's for you. Joe says, Dominic says, Joe, what do you have to say for yourself with that failed handshake yesterday with Brandon Graham?
Oh, boy.
I mean, it was tough.
So BG came in here and...
I didn't know this.
Yeah, we misconnected.
Oh,
what
missed
do you mean
it?
You missed?
Yeah, John,
they missed multiple times.
John and him, like, gripped hands. Like, oh, man, gripping hands, football players.
Well, they're athletes. And they have a, right. You know, it's like choreography.
Right.
They know what they're doing.
So then BG came over my way and he put out his hand and I put out my hand.
Did you do
short-armed
with your hand?
Well, I was in the midst of reading something to promote Brandon being here. Here's what I'd say. For all those complaining, I know Spike and Ike and Jack, everyone's complaining.
Oh, they crushed you.
I'd say if Brandon Graham had a longer arm, maybe he would have been drafted in the top 10. Like, he was drafted by Andy Reid. Chip Kelly would have never drafted him because he was a measurements guy. Get a longer arm.
This is externalizing the locus of blame. Give me an example of how you shook his hand.
Oh, no,
we didn't shake hands.
It was like this. John, look at me. Went like this twice.
Oh,
like this, and then they tried again and missed.
Oh, no.
BG, if you're listening, I'm just joking, buddy.
Good. I would hope so.
Actually, longer arms, maybe you would have been a top 10 guy.
What if it's your arms?
Yeah,
that are
next
too
time.
Short?
Yeah, next time, here's what you do. Stop reading for a second.
I know.
Do the high fives and go back to reading.
It's Brandon Graham. He's coming over to shake your hand, and you're like, oh, let me read.
Well, we've got sponsors. All right, James, let's do one or two more.
All right, Richie, this one's for you. If you had to spend $1 million in 24 hours, how would you go about it?
Oh, man. Brewster's Millions. Remember that? What was he? $30 million?
Loved it. Absolutely loved that movie.
You have a month or something
movie
to do it, right?
Yeah. In today's world, it feels like you could just go online and I could blow that.
Spend it pretty quickly.
5 minutes. Right?
Guys, you buy 2 cheeseburgers these days, good chance it's $40.
I know.
I'm serious.
You're right.
Cheeseburger, fry, Coke,
it's more.
$40.
It's more than that. No question.
Yeah. I mean, then by the time the tip, it's $50.
I would order some great meals delivered and I'd probably blow
delivery's
all
outrageous
that
now.
You'd probably
John
go on and find like the original lightsaber from the first Star Wars and buy that. You'd buy that kind of stuff.
Every morning that I'm in here, Richie has a different coffee brand, and you love to talk about it in the breaks.
Too.
You bring it, like today it's a Dunkin', sometimes it's Lachlan, sometimes it's by an influencer, so probably half
I just
half
started
of it on
drinking coffee last year at this time, so I am excited about coffee. I'd spend some of it on coffee online.
Caffeine's important.
I'd buy guitars, but it would just be online. It would be over in a hurry. Quick. And it would be fruitless. I would not have anything productive to show for all of my money invested.
All right, one more. Joe, this one's for you from Kirk on Twitter. Kirk asks,
Kirk or Kurtz?
Kirk with a K.
Such a bad name, but keep going.
You cannot
Let's
say
be real.
It
Let's
is
be,
not a bad
come
name.
On, come on. Everybody knows the
That's
Kirk.
That's a solid name.
Kirk's are...
Joe, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
It's a bad name.
What
it's
are
a horrible
you talking
name.
About?
Tough name.
75% of the world doesn't even know what their name is.
Yeah, that's
Kirk
not
Cameron
a good way to go about it.
Was the biggest star in the world when I was young.
Well, he was.
You were young then, too. He was a big deal.
And Kirk Cousins, general manager, didn't even know his name was Kirk. In Washington. What
it's
does
true.
That say? Seltzer, one more. What?
All right. Kirk asks, Joe, what is your favorite childhood memory of any of your Philly sports teams?
Oh, 93 Phils. Easy.
I mean, easy. Like, it's not even a question for
me. That's
me.
A slam dunk.
Slam dunk.
Although I will say, J.J. Daniels' goal in Game 6 of 87 is really high up there. That was a thrilling moment for the Flyers. I was 9 years old. And obviously with that win, the Flyers forced a Game 7.
And honestly, as sad as it was, the one playoff win, the Rich Kotite, it was thrilling to actually win a playoff game, you know?
Fred Barnett, two touchdowns. Heath Sherman, a touchdown. Eric Allen, a touchdown. Reggie White with a safety of Bobby Hebert. There were a lot of great memories back then.
He scored a touchdown.
Interception return.
I didn't realize that.
Interception return of Hebert pretty much sealed the game.
He was like the classiest teammate.
Awesome.
I've ever been
Listen,
around.
Quinion,
one of those guys.
Quinion
just...
Mitchell, best Eagles rookie cube cornerback since Eric Allen.
No, 88, right?
No
was it 88?
No, Keith Jackson was 88.
Okay.
Eric Allen was 21.
No, she's asking
no.
a year.
Oh, yeah, 1988. I'm sorry.
I know that Eric Allen
was 88. He said Keith Jackson. I was like, yeah, he didn't understand.
I was like, huh?
And with that, and a lot of confusion
Thank
on
you,
AMA,
yeah.
we shut it down. All right, let's listen to Kyle Schwarber. So there's a lot from last night's game. We've covered some of it. We'll continue to. If you want to weigh in on the fight or near fight, I guess you'd call it more a near fight than a fight. But Castellanos drilled, obviously, the biggest talking point from last night. Personally, I think Rangers struggles is the most important thing that happened last night because that does concern me for October. And, you know, Rob Thompson's going to have a heck of a decision to make on Game 3, whether it's Ranger or whether it's Sanchez. But let's also get to the reality of Schwarber getting banged up. You know, in the moment, you never quite know. This was good news, though, after the game. So if you miss it, he's on first base, dives back in on a pickoff attempt. Elbow banged up, leaves the game. So we're all wondering, like, what's the deal? We've seen a lot of Phils injured lately. After the game, doesn't sound so bad. By the way, Rob Thompson had called it officially a left elbow contusion and sort of a hyperextension. Here's Schwarber after the game.
Worried, says bruise, but hyperextension?
Like, yeah, this, I guess I just kind of hit it on the right spot, I guess, like diving back. And didn't even feel pain or nothing. And it was just more when I got back to the dugout. And I did, like, kind of, like, extended it. I was like, oh, that was weird. And then went down and took a swing and didn't feel good. So then I told the trainer, and he worked on it a little bit, got better, and tried to let one rip, and it just wasn't really cooperating.
All right, so that alone you might not feel better because obviously no real particularly good news there, but he continued on, and this is where I thought it got clear that, you know, we should not have an alarm bell on this one.
If tomorrow, you know, there's nothing structurally wrong, so if pretty much just tomorrow can stand it and play.
I mean, listen, I don't want to say they're totally out of the woods because he's saying, let's see what happens tomorrow. But I don't think he'd be talking to the reporters and be talking about playing today if he thought he had a major issue. Look, if he misses three or four games, you know, big deal. You know, who really cares? But I don't think this is a situation that should linger in October. But
sounds like if it were the postseason, he would play and it would be good. And
yeah.
He's going to be sore and he can manage this.
But I will say, we have seen players. I mean, this is the part I should not push aside. We have seen players play and be banged up and be less effective.
That's what worries me the most going into the postseason. It's, I mean, you look at even Alec Boehm where they kind of downplayed it at first, and I think they genuinely thought that it was less severe than it was, and now he's on the IL. So even if players are active for the postseason, it worries me if they're not 100% healthy.
Yeah, I mean, JT's missed time. Mm-hmm. Bryce is playing but has not been as effective. Certainly the power has not been lately. All right, look, all of this on the table, 215-592-9494. We'll also ask you today's Twitter poll question of the day. It is a really important question for Rob Thompson to answer as it relates to the postseason. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. The question, as of now, who do you think should be the Phillies' third starter in the postseason? We've put them in alphabetical order, not the sequence of how they entered the season. A, Christopher Sanchez. B, Ranger Suarez. That is not that. Look, I think it's not an easy call. I would go with Ranger.
I think it's not even close based on recent performance.
Well,
my
there's,
gosh,
there's recent.
Christopher
but...
Sanchez goes out there and it feels like it's seven innings, like no earned runs. That's what I've come to expect from him.
But Ranger's been a postseason stud.
True.
And he really has been.
As a starter, as a reliever, he's done it all.
Look, there is an argument
dependably.
For Sanchez that you could use Ranger out of the bullpen early in a series. If you had to.
Yeah, and, that's a good point.
You know, so that could tip it to Sanchez.
Yep.
It could. But, all right, make of it what you will. Ruling the world. That's what we're hoping the Phils and the Eagles will do this year. Well, time will tell, but we're going to know pretty soon on the Phillies. Getting close to the playoffs. And I will tell you, I got two different things that are happening at the same time. My excitement level's going up, but so too is my worry. Just because it can end quickly. I mean, this is one of those things I don't want it to end. Like, I remember when Toronto called timeout before that final shot in 01, Game 7 versus Sixers, and I was at that game, and Vince Carter, of course, missed it, and Tyrone Hill got out on him, and that helped him miss it. But I vividly remember thinking during that timeout, like, I don't want this to end. I don't want this to end. This can't end.
That was an amazing run.
It was amazing. And like, if he makes that shot,
yeah.
It's over.
It all ends. He graduated that morning, right?
What a bozo.
We totally all blamed it on
that. What an idiot.
Blew in the whole thing.
You go to college to do something in your professional life. He's in a freaking game seven, and he goes to North Carolina the morning of a freaking game seven in Philadelphia.
Unbelievable. We would have crushed him here.
Well, we crushed him.
We did.
And we were happy he did it. Yes. I thought it was a disgrace. Anyway.
That run, by the way, when it happened, I remember when they eventually, it was like mid-July, and I said to a friend of mine, I'm still tired.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was incredible. But my point as it relates to that moment during that timeout, because I vividly am like, this can't end. This can't end. I don't want this to end. With the Phillies, like, it can get exhilarating soon, right? Or it's going to be a crash and burn. It's one or the other. I mean, or it's exhilarating until it's a crash and burn. Because let's be real, the last two Octobers were exhilarating until they weren't.
As exhilarating as it gets, and that's the
beauty
of it all.
It was amazing.
We, as a team, are getting better at the exhilarating part. I believe
that. Well, they're playing
that.
Better baseball right now than they did in July and portions of August, obviously.
Yes.
All right, so all of it on the table, 215-592-9494. By the way, when you call in today, a chance to win a pair of tickets to Kings of Leon, happening September 23rd, so coming up now in less than 2 weeks, at the Mann Center TD Pavilion. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. I was thinking, John, earlier today about that Nikita Khrushchev, who famously took off his shoe and started banging it on the table at the United Nations. And
like a gavel.
Demanding something. I don't know what he's demanding, but
I don't have
does
a hammer.
That?
I just use
what a
my
bozo.
Shoe.
Another bozo.
And pound on it.
Bigger bozo, Vince Carter or Nikita Khrushchev?
Vince Carter.
Oh, I would actually agree with that.
Nikita Khrushchev was a dictator, man.
That's awful. He never did drop those nukes, so we appreciate that. All right, so here's the deal.
Thanks, Nikolai.
Well, that was when I was like, it might happen. All right, we'll ask you this, in honor or dishonor of Khrushchev banging the shoe on the table. Someone famous who did something ridiculous. Best answer, now it's got to be from real stuff, not fictional. Best answer to who was someone famous that did something, like, I'll give you an example. Tom Cruise, I'm watching an interview, all of a sudden, bang, he's jumping up on a couch. Why? I don't know. He just chose to.
He was in love.
No shock that she snuck away from
him. Yeah, there was a lot going on there. All right, so we'll ask you a moment where someone famous did something ridiculous we all know about. Best answer, 215-592-9494. Let's quickly establish a couple, then we're going to get to some audio from last night. John, give me an example here.
You know Johnny Knoxville?
I do know the name. That's the Jackass guy,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, well, the whole show's ridiculous.
He's done a lot.
Yes, he has. So you take all of it. Yeah. The whole.
Any one of them.
Johnny Knoxville.
Devin, give me something ridiculous.
I'm also going to go with an all-encompassing Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Pretty much just like the whole thing. Maybe like going to North Korea is the most ridiculous.
Well, that is probably the most ridiculous. I will say this. So the audience.
Didn't he marry himself?
Please give us a specific.
Didn't he marry himself, too?
The wedding dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
Seltzer, you used to do that all the time. All right.
What?
Just settle down. All right, Rhea, give me
that
an answer.
That wasn't as funny as you think it was.
All right, Rhea, give me an answer. Someone that did something.
Marry. It's not even a good euphemism.
Yeah, premarital for you is what that
just
was.
You love to just go blue. You're a big go blue guy.
Go blue?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It means say risque things.
Give me something ridiculous.
T.O. doing sit-ups in his driveway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a big one. Seltzer, give me an example here.
Chris Gaines.
don't know what that is.
That's Garth Brooks. He created an alter ego, did an album as Chris Gaines, was planning a movie, it all fell apart. What a ridiculous thing
to do. Look, best answer whoever provides it is going to win the Kings of Leon tickets. Let's get some calls in here. We're going to get to
Why did he call it Chris Gaines? He called
himself
Chris
Gaines.
So weird,
right? Yes, yeah. Chris, he created an alter ego. Yes.
And he made it just very.
He made an album in the mind of Chris Gaines or whatever it was called and was like, yep, I'm Chris Gaines now. And it didn't work out. And then he went back to Garth Brooks.
All right, let's get to Jeremy calling from South Jersey. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, guys. Yo, real quick, I just want to address the concerns about Jalen Hurts' leg. In 2022, they signed a mobile quarterback. Following year, he didn't look mobile. It's not a coincidence that the Eagles picked up Saquon Barkley. They never, ever signed a running back like that. Obviously, the Eagles don't want Jalen to run, so it really doesn't matter about his mobility.
I'm not sure about your – first off, Jeremy, you got one fact wrong. He got the contract in 2023 after 2022. So just to be clear on that. And by the way, the more I think back on it – hold on, Jeremy, hang on. The more I think back on it, now that we've seen the Eagles commit big money to Saquon, the more I think the rumors about their interest in Bijan probably were well-founded. And if Jalen Carter had not been on the board, which he was, and if Bijan had not been off the board, which he like sort of surprisingly was, the Eagles might have snatched up Bijan. And that was before Jalen showed diminishment in the running game.
Okay, but look, Joe, that doesn't mean, though, regardless of the diminishment in the running game, that doesn't mean that they don't want him to run anymore. Whether he can run or not, that's not what they want him to do because they've never gotten a running back like that. In my mind, the way that I look at Saquon Barkley's contract, they just added another $13 million to Jalen's $52 million so that now they have the running game on point. They don't need him to run. He covers the red zone. He covers the end of the game. Everything that Jalen was doing well with his legs, we got Saquon for that now. So just put that to rest.
They
Jeremy, you think Saquon is our goal line and short yardage answer now? You think that they turn around and hand it off to Saquon instead of having quarterback sneaks every time we need a touchdown
That's
from
1 yard
out?
That's what I think they should do.
This is what I'm saying, John. I'm saying that before, Jalen in the red zone, not even with the QB sneak, but let's say we were like 10 yards in, he would run the football. He couldn't run last year. That stinks. He can't throw the football in the red zone too well. Now we got Saquon. We're not going to have to throw the ball as much in the red zone. They take care of it.
All right, Jeremy, we'll find out. Give me something, someone famous who did something ridiculous.
Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg.
Oh, yeah. That's a big answer.
Wow, went to jail.
And that helped the Eagles win a playoff game because he missed that 08 game against the Eagles because that happened late in the season. All right, coming up in 1 minute, speaking of Hurts running the ball, we had Sirianni on our show yesterday. What he said about that very issue, we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute.
Hey, John, let's talk about our friends at Wind Donation. Did you know most of your home's AC this summer leaked out through your old windows? With the nice weather this September, it's a great time to replace them with energy-efficient ones and save money on heat this winter. Who would I call? Window Nation.
Right now, buy two windows, get two free. And there's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save big with no interest or payments for 24 months.
Why do I like Window Nation? Because they partner with the top manufacturers to build the best quality, affordable windows. And then they pass the savings on to you. Who else likes Window Nation? Well, over 20,000 customers who gave a 5-star review, including Albert, who said great value, great product, great customer service. Highly recommend it.
Stop paying more than you have to. And hurry, sale ends September 30th, so schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, let me say this about the last caller, Jeremy, who's a good caller. I think he's fundamentally wrong about one thing. He said repeatedly in that call, they don't want Jalen running the ball. Not right. I think they want him running it less than he used to. That doesn't mean not running at all. Let's listen to Sirianni. He joined us yesterday on the show. He talked about the need for Jalen to pick his spots as a runner.
Are you and your offensive staff reminding Jalen to get down early to protect himself too?
Yeah, always. His health is so important, and you know, he's got to make sure that when he can step out of bounds, he steps out of bounds, which he had a couple of those. But then Jalen's such a powerful runner. You know, he had a huge conversion in the 4 minute off of a pass that turned into a scramble where he lowers his shoulder and gets 3 extra or 4 extra yards. That was a powerful run too. you know, and so Jalen's got a good feel for when to go down and when to fight for some extra yards. We're always advising him to make sure he protects himself. But also we're trying, you know, scrambles, you know, it's on him, like planned runs. That's on us, for us to make sure that we're doing the right schemes, that we don't put him in danger. Now, you know, every run's a little bit different, but that's in the forefront of our mind every time we put a quarterback run in or a quarterback read play in, is how are we protecting Jalen on this play.
You can tell they're, you know, they're still going to have some powers. They're just going to pick their spots. I mean, he's not saying we're not going to have them. Of course they're going to have some. There's no question. By the way, Ross Tucker on the Eagles, week one and the transition to week two. We'll get Ross's thoughts coming up in 10 minutes. Also, Conklin, looking back to that victory in Green Bay. Conklin dialing something up for us coming up shortly as well. Let's go to Mike Delran. Michael, good morning, buddy.
Yo, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Mike.
Fantastic, Mike. Mike, we almost had a fight in baseball last night. I loved it. I didn't like their dude drilling our dude, but I like Bryce Harper stepping in there, and I always love when there's a fight or almost a fight in baseball. Let me say that.
You know what? I haven't seen a good baseball fight in a while. Like, I wish it would have escalated.
You know what?
Maybe
word
they're
applies,
not good
Mike?
At fighting anymore because they don't fight.
Well, they're all so nice to each other now, but I always like a good Donnybrook. You know?
That word is underused.
But it always applies to a baseball brawl.
Of course, yes.
No one says the guys in the alley had a Donnybrook.
No.
But when it's baseball, it's for whatever reason, it's a Donnybrook.
Do you not laugh every time the bullpen runs out?
Oh, it's the best.
Every time. I love it. It's usually over by the time they get out there.
Right. All right, Mike, go ahead, buddy.
The bullpens just start fighting once they get right out there. Let's let everybody run out.
Well, there is actually nothing better in sports. And it happens probably less than once a year now. And Hexie had an all-timer one time when the goalies square off in hockey.
I don't even think that happens once a year anymore. Like once every 5 years you see that.
It might be less.
Might be less, exactly.
Because it takes a full-fledged hockey brawl and the goalies joining in.
Patrick Waugh, remember that?
I do remember that. I do remember that. All right, Mike, I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
The goalie fight's the best.
That is unbelievable. It really is like the grand finale at the firework display.
Well, Hexie just drilled. I forget who it was. He was balding. It was his second go-around here.
He was balding.
He was pretty old. Like, the helmet comes off.
Why does that matter?
Because he just looked ridiculous because he was kind of old. And, like, he's just clobbering this guy.
That doesn't affect your ability to punch a guy in the face.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Has there ever been a bald heavyweight champion that didn't shave it off because he had to?
Oh.
Like Hagler, maybe.
George Foreman.
Oh, Foreman.
Yeah.
And, of course, Hagler was a middleweight. All right, Mike, go ahead.
I'm just listening. I'm loving it. I went to the game 2 nights ago. It was my first walk-off. Dude, that was so awesome to be in a stadium to see
I'll bet.
I felt so bad for Rojas. We were like 3 rows to the left of Rojas, and we've seen the whole thing. I felt bad for the dude. But, last night, you know, Dude, hit another player because you're losing and you stink.
Weak.
Like I said, I wish it would have escalated. Like, I wish Bryce Harper just would have came out with a haymaker right behind him.
So, Mike here, well, the good thing that
then Bryce is out for 10 games. Probably.
Yeah, Mike, two things. One, Bryce doesn't get further injured in a brawl. And two, obviously, he doesn't get suspended because nothing escalated to the point that would require that. But I love that he stuck up for his teammate. Loved it. And I'll say this, Mike. I was semi-joking earlier, but not mostly. I mean, I do like a fight in baseball. And you guys that listen to me through the years know I do like pitchers pitching inside. I do like a pitcher drilling a guy sometimes. But what that guy did last night was not cool, and it wasn't right because it was his own fault that he was struggling. And it is not proper, right, fair, appropriate, whatever, cool to just drill a guy just because you're in a bad mood. I mean, that's just not – that's not the way it should go down. All right, Mike, give me a great answer here. Who did something ridiculous?
So this guy was in his prime famous, and it ruined his career. It's Pee Wee Herman in the movie theater.
Wow. Pee Wee's a big answer. There's no doubt about that. Okay. Ooh. That's a pretty good answer right there. Unless it's not that ridiculous.
No.
The public part. All right, let's get to the...
It's a movie theater.
I'll move on. All right, let's get to the near brawl last night.
I don't understand.
You need an explanation? Do you need a diagram, John?
What are we talking about?
Do you need one of those? All right. So let's get to how it sounded last night on TV, as called by Tom McCarthy and John Kruk, when the relief pitcher, Uceda, drills. Am I saying that name right, James? Uceda. He drills Castellanos. Harper comes to his defense. It's almost a brawl. It's not quite, but it was fun. But it wasn't cool. Here's what happened.
On the year, Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. Dusty Wathan comes over with Brandon Marsh to move Harper away. The bullpen's clear as well.
I mean, listen.
If anyone hits anyone, is that automatic suspension?
A punch, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you're out in for
no question.
At least
5 to 10 games, depending on how they judge it.
And Strom shouldn't have been out there.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You're right, because he wasn't in uniform.
Wasn't in uniform.
Yeah, he could get suspended, theoretically.
Using the Flyers again as an example. 87 Flyers.
Oh, God.
Who comes out with no shirt on before
God,
the game?
I know him. His number's in my book.
Come on. One of the great Flyers fighters of all time. Claude Lemieux pulls his punk move. Game 6, 87.
He was in the locker room and he came out.
Dale Brown.
That's it.
Ugh. Or no, excuse me. Dale Brown. That's LSU. Dave Brown. Oh, I love Dave Brown. He was my, Schultz, obviously, in the 70s.
One of the funniest things ever.
Dave Brown in the 80s. It was great. All right. Let's listen to, because John Casty, after the game, was still fired up. Now, he's not screaming, but he's crystal clear in his opinion. He thought the pitcher was out of line. I totally agree with him. Let's listen to Castellanos after the game.
I got into the box. I wasn't even swinging because I thought there was a chance that that could happen, and it happened. I think that he was just pissed off that his numbers got messed up.
Right. You don't have any beef with him, right?
No, just other than like having a overwhelming sense that I was about to get drilled.
Uh-huh. You thought it might happen just based on the way the inning went against him to that point? Or?
I can't explain it, I know that he had relatively pretty good numbers going into that, and just watching him, I could see him getting frustrated, and I was digging in. I'm like, I'm going to take this pitch right here to see if he's around the plate, and it wasn't anywhere near the plate.
So what was that like when you see your teammates put on Bryce, like, come right?
No doubt, because I think that we all kind of got a sense of what it was, that he was just pissed off that, he got hit around and his ERA shot through the roof.
I don't know if that was a shot at the end or just a factual statement or both.
I don't think it's a shot. I think he just says comes into his head.
And I think, Cassie, that is the story. I mean, the reality is, look, he sensed the guy was about to drill him.
That is incredible.
He sensed it.
And it does feel like he's just that sort of player. Talked about the fact that he's that sort of player. He gets up there and just has a feel.
I mean, look, he sleuthed it out. Let's get to more of Cassie, because he was very strong as he ended his comments on the matter when he said this.
You obviously were a little pissed off, too, once what you thought was going to happen did.
Yeah, I just told him I was bullshit.
That kind of summed it up.
You're throwing a baseball over 90 miles an hour and you're frustrated and you're going to throw at somebody, That's like my 2-year-old throwing a fit because I take away his dessert before he's finished.
Look, let me tell you something, man. I'm all for drilling a dude in baseball when the situation requires it, warrants it. That wasn't one last night. That was not right by that guy. And his manager should talk to him. And if Rob Thompson needs to, Rob Thompson might need to talk to the other manager and say, make sure you talk to that bum.
You know how the players knew it?
Otherwise, I might drill one of your dudes tonight.
The Rays players knew it because they were taught. I saw one talking to Marsh. Castellanos was talking to another guy. Yeah. And they were like, dude, we didn't tell him to do this.
I agree with
that's
you.
That's the feeling I got from them.
I agree. Let's get to Patrick right now. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, Pat.
Fantastic.
Okay. I just want to talk about the Eagles real quick. I know you got somebody coming up quick. I wasn't even worried about the offense, but the defense, somebody could have started down even 21-0 and could have.
Look, the defense saved the day in the beginning of the game, clearly.
It was incredible in the sudden change that they were able to escape with just 6 points on the board. And then when we scored that first touchdown, we were suddenly ahead. That really was the difference in the game early.
Critical.
It could have gotten so out of hand.
Yep.
Yeah. I was kind of concentrating on Jacoby a lot during the game. And
did you say Jacoby or Nakobe?
Jacoby Brissett?
I was thinking Jacoby Brissett, too.
Yeah, that's who.
You mean Nakobe Dean?
Nakobe Dean.
Dean, I'm sorry.
No worries, buddy.
Yeah, and he looked great.
He
impressed me.
And you know what? He carried it over from training camp, Patrick. He was lighting people up, hitting people with aplomb.
Well, that like one hit really, was the hardest of the game.
Well,
there's no doubt.
He brings it. And I didn't know he brought it until training camp when I watched him. It was against Shipley. Just a random play.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a team period where it was a single backer dog. Shipley had to try to block Nakobe. Nakobe destroyed him.
Which is impressive.
He arrived with so much anger and force. And this is practice. And you could hear it from two fields away.
Well, here's what really impresses me about that. Nakobe's not that big.
No.
Like, I get Ronnie Lott lighting dudes up as a big safety. I get that, right? We all get that. We get Ray Lewis. He's one of the biggest linebackers of all time. But Nakobe's one of the smaller. So for him to have that power is really impressive. Patrick, give me an answer. Someone famous who did something ridiculous.
Pete Rose.
What'd he do? I know he did 37,000 things ridiculous. Which one are you taking?
Monk. He ruined himself.
All right. Pete Rose, he ruined himself.
That's ridiculous.
That he could have had a winning answer if he just said something specific, but there's no specificity in there. All right, Ross Tucker, shortly. Let's get to Conklin. Joe and I were joking around earlier this week about how, you know, the win against Green Bay, similar to last year, and I'm not trying to, like, totally invoke last year. I think to a large extent a lot of us want to turn the page. But last year there was a common thread of almost having to – you know, turn your head and cough after a win. Like, it was like an excuse me win. This one was not as egregious the other day as some of the ones last year, but it still had that feeling of like...
The turn your head and cough after a win?
Like survival?
I
like,
hadn't thought about it like that.
You know what I mean? Like, I think we won the game. Did we win? Did my team win? Yeah, the Birds won the game, but it was also had some excuse me elements. And with that, Joe Conklin, a little game show action. A new addition. Here on WIP.
It's time to play Who's to Blame for That Eagles Win? Please welcome your host, Merle Reese.
Thank you, Johnny. Just a brutal victory.
I blame Cam Jurgens for those two fumbles.
That's not his fault, Mike. I blame Jason Kelce for quitting to do commercials.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Good.
Philadelphia!
I blame Sirianni.
What did he do?
Nothing.
He kept his mouth shut and stayed out of the way. Right, Coach?
I bit my tongue a few times. Big Dom was there to bite my tongue for me.
I blame this win on the Giants. GM Joe Shane and owner John Mara.
For letting Saquon walk to the Eagles.
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that.
Thank you, boys.
You could blame Howie Roseman.
Come on, bro. I couldn't even see the field. I was standing behind a really tall Brazilian guy. He must have been like 5'7".
Oh, that is tall.
100%, man.
How about we blame Zach Bond for this win?
No. Blame Devin White for declining the flight to Brazil.
Devin tweaked his friggin' ankle.
John Ritchie.
Our guys are so awesome. Fumbles, missed tackles, turnovers. Magnificent.
You're right, John. Hurts' two interceptions and two fumbles were the key to victory.
He's picking up right where he left off last year.
With time, the ugly duckling becomes a beautiful swan.
Oh.
Flowers grow out of manure.
Keep watering, Jalen.
So who do we blame for this Eagles win? Behind door number one is Hurts. Behind door number two, Sirianni. Behind door number three, Saquon Barkley.
That would be correct.
Yes.
That's our winner. The New York Giants management is the most to blame for this Eagles win.
Tell them what they've won, Johnny.
John Mara, you just won a king-size mattress to help you get some sleep. Tune in again next time when we play Who's Gonna Save Hurts This Week?
Oh, no, thank you, boys.
Bye for now.
No, we want Hurts to thrive and excel and not need to be saved. But look, he was kind of bailed out this week because, look, he did some good things, clearly. But he did some bad things, clearly, as well. And guys like Saquon and Zach Bond, I mean, without them, they probably lose the game. Great work by Conklin. Of course, you can see Conklin's show at Archbishop Wood High School in Warminster, Warminster, PA, on Saturday, September 28th. So obviously coming up in just a couple weeks. Come early for a meet and greet with WIP afternoon host Ike Reese. Tickets on sale at joeconklin.com. Also, see Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School in Marlton, New Jersey, October 26th. Proceeds go to the Evesham Police Foundation. Again, tickets at joeconklin.com.
And, of course, it's Conklin's Comedy Night at Parks Casino every other Thursday. Tomorrow, September 12th, see Terry McNeely, Kevin Downey Jr., and Jessica Collazo. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are only $20, including a free drink. Tickets at joeconklin.com.
All right, Ross Tucker with us in 1 minute. Ross on the Eagles, a deep dive on last game. And we start looking ahead to the next game as well in 1 minute's time.
If you've spent time building the right roster and earned the fans, then you need the best technology to back it up. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer in point-of-sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning-fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free, but that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system. It's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. Their user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a POS solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, Jody Cameron, John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning. Ross Tucker, in just a moment. Let me just say, though, of course, it's important to say September 11th. You know, reminder to everyone what this day is, what it represents for our nation, what it was 23, incredible to say now, 23 years ago. And, of course, I think more than anything, just our hearts go out this day to those that lost loved ones that day. I mean, the reality is any of us who were old enough to live through it, and the five of us in here were, you know, we all as Americans know what it represented to us if we did not lose a family member or a great friend or a friend of any sort, because it was a tragic day in every way possible and affected every American. But for those of you listening right now who lost a loved one that day, our hearts go out to you. I mean, we'll never forget you, because we'll never forget what September 11th was about, and obviously the impact on your life and all of our lives. So God bless us. God bless our country. God bless those that passed away, those that ran into the building, to try to save people. And look, 23 years, it'll always be momentous for the rest of our lives. There's no question about it. All right, let's talk some football with our next guest. Ross Tucker does a spectacular job, not only covering the Eagles, but of course the entire National Football League, which I do want to dive in to some of the around the league action. I mean, there was some interesting stuff that happened week one, including Dallas looked pretty good. Hate to say it, but they did. Now, maybe it was bad Cleveland.
Deshaun Watson was bad.
Listen,
wow,
he might be done.
He was the worst. I watched a lot of football. He was the worst quarterback I watched play yesterday, at least in my opinion.
He was a really good player. And everything that went down, it might have just totally derailed his career. He might not ever get it back.
He's got another suit that
he
just
does.
Got filed.
And that could create another domino of, does he get suspended again? We'll see. All right. Ross Tucker for all of it, but obviously heaviest on the Eagles. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, everybody. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Super,
doing
Ross.
Well. Ross, we got a 1-0 team. And listen, you know, man, that thing hung in the balance. That could have gone either way. Now, credit to the Eagles for pulling it out. I thought they slugged it out in a good way, but it was a sloppy game. What was your biggest takeaway from this week one victory, Ross?
Well, just how gigantic the win was, because you should not win a game like that in the NFL. I mean, if you turn the ball over twice and give your opponent, who, by the way, is like a top five team in my power rankings, you give them the ball twice in your red zone, and then you throw an interception in the end zone and take points off the board, guys, you are not going to win very many of those games in the NFL, period, let alone against a really good team. So I guess I came away from the game highly encouraged that they still found a way to win that game, and thinking that the ceiling for this team is really, really high if Jalen Hurts does not play like that moving forward. Now, obviously, the fumbled snap was a different deal, but if Hurts gets that out of his game, and I think he will, I am so encouraged. I'll tell you why, too, Joe. How about the debut for some of the new guys?
No question.
I mean, Saquon was ridiculous. My biggest question on the offensive side of the ball was Mekhi Becton at right guard because I just hadn't really seen it. Guys, he was awesome. He was awesome. If he plays like that all year, the Eagles will have the best offensive line in the NFL again. Zach Bond was awesome. Quinyon Mitchell was awesome. Basically, every new guy, I guess with the exception of Huff, played very, very well. And it was almost like a showcase game on some level for Howie Roseman, because I thought the new guys were the leaders really on both sides of the ball.
That's an interesting point. And the receivers, who of course have been here, played well. But no, good points there. So, Ross, let's tackle the Jalen thing, because I agree with you. If he plays good or great this year, this team's going to be great. I mean, barring injuries, obviously, there's so much talent. So we had a poll yesterday, Ross. I was a little surprised by the answer results, and I'm curious where you would come down. The poll was, from week one, were you more encouraged or discouraged with Jalen? 52% said discouraged. I was surprised 48% said encouraged. Which would you have voted for?
I would say neither. I don't know that I was really encouraged. I don't know that I was discouraged. I guess I have faith that he's not going to make those type of egregious errors again. Because remember, not only did he have the two interceptions, but he had another one that should have been picked. That throw to Dotson.
Two of them.
That could have easily been a pick six. So I guess here's how I would phrase it, Joe, if this makes sense. I am discouraged that he made those throws and made those decisions. I am encouraged because I just don't think he's going to do that a lot moving forward. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, look, are we going to be sitting here every week talking about the three terrible decisions, horrible throws that Hurts made? I just don't see that being the case, that we're going to be talking about this every week. I don't know why it happened. I'm a little surprised, based on how he did in training camp, that he made those decisions and made those throws. But they won anyway.
No, they did. Well, it shows you how much talent there is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ross, I want to play some audio of Jaws, because Jaws was on our program yesterday. Two pieces of audio related to the Hurts thing, and then we'll get to all the other topics, because there's so much. But let's cue it up when Jaws was talking to us yesterday about Hurts in this game.
With this receiving core, I think you got to be very careful as a quarterback. You have so much confidence. This receiving core is phenomenal, by the way. And sometimes you can have too much confidence of squeezing the ball in the tight areas, and I think that's what he did. So he's got to be more judicious in where he decides to throw the football. To me, that was the mistakes he made that game were forced mistakes, forced by himself, not by the defense. He should not have been throwing the football where those interceptions happened.
All right, so that was interesting, obviously. But I thought this next point Jaws made was even more interesting. Here's Jaws on Hurts, and you can tell that his level of concern on Jalen is going up.
In your mind, very correctable, it sounds like.
Very correctly, but I'm starting to sense a pattern now. As I said earlier, it was 15 interceptions last year, now two in the first game. You know, I think you got to be real careful about protecting the football. It's very seldom you win this league minus two in the turnover category. Mm-hmm. And we turned over three times. Green Bay turned over one, and we won the football game. So that doesn't happen all that often. So you've got to protect the football.
Yeah, I think, Charles, one of the things I hear John, and he says this a lot, it's a correctable, of course it's correctable, but it's also sustainable. I mean, one of my
concerns. You know, I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern here. You know, trying to force balls in where they shouldn't go. You got to be very careful. You know, very careful with that football.
So, Ross, what gives you the sense that it won't continue, the negative stuff? You know, that often.
Right. Well, I mean, that just can't. No quarterback can do that on a consistent basis. I guess what I'm concerned about is earlier in his career, he just didn't do that.
Correct.
You know, I mean, even when he was the first year he was starting and they ran the ball a lot, but obviously in 22, I don't really remember him putting the ball in harm's way very often. In fact, we would say, you know what, the best thing about Jalen right now is he doesn't turn it over.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't make the mistakes.
It's almost like it's flipped where now he can make great throws and the Eagles can throw the ball over the place, but now he is putting the ball in harm's way. That's concerning. I don't think he's going to do that 3 or 4 times a game. My concern is, even if he just does it once, that can be the difference between winning and losing the game. I mean, there are interceptions that happen that maybe you get fooled. There are interceptions that happen where you make a bad throw. Guys, those were not even close. I mean, those were not even close or debatable.
Yep.
That's probably the most concerning thing to me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.